Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you enjoy listening to this podcast. Jessica Murray trained as a fine artist before graduating in 1973 from Brown University. She studied traditional psychology and linguistics. After a stint in political theater, Jessica began a study of metaphysics and has been practicing and teaching astrology in San Francisco for 30 years. She's a frequent contributor to Mountain Astrologer and other publications. Jessica's recent writing focuses upon macro transits as they manifest in current global events, and upon the disappearance and the re-emergence of lunar astrology. In this interview, I asked Jessica about what astrology is, why visit an astrologer, and how does astrology today compare to the traditional astrology of the past, and about the most common things that come up in an astrological reading. I hope you will enjoy our conversation. Jessica, welcome. It's nice to have you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to talk about astrology today, and of course you're a professional astrologer. We can say that astrology is a discipline, if not even a science, and that it has existed for thousands of years. Why do people visit an astrologer today, and what can they expect from an astrology reading?
Well, a lot of the old sureties have broken down in the modern world. You know, the old traditions from tribe and family and religion, these have lost their legitimacy for a lot of people. Western science has replaced them as the system that we use instead to try to explain the big questions of life. But the trouble is, it doesn't address the mysteries.
Yes.
The ancients called the dark mysteries.
That's right.
The modern scientific worldview doesn't go there. And it even distrusts the mysteries and to some extent positions itself as antagonistic to them.
Yes.
Or to the kind of thinking that is open to them. But I do think there's a hunger for these things. I think it's a built-in hunger in human beings. I think that we're born to be seekers of cosmic truths. And I think we know in our bones that we're each born for a reason and that it isn't just arbitrarily why we're here. So astrology is able to put a person's life into that big context, that cosmic context.
Yes. And it satisfies, I suppose, the needs for wisdom and understanding as to what our lives are about.
I think it does satisfy that. And I think that it reminds us that our life has meaning and that the universe has meaning.
Mm. On your website, which is www.mothersky.com, you say that you offer humanistic astrology. What is humanistic astrology? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is the astrology that studies people's psyches more than events and businesses and countries and such. There are different branches of astrology that do deal with the outer world, more or less exclusively, and we call those the mundane astrologies.
Right.
But humanistic astrology is more concerned with the inner world of human beings. So the emphasis is on the drives and the potentials of the person as they try to fill out their potential. And the chart is seen to be the blueprint of that potential, what the soul came in to learn. It was Jane Rudyard, who many of your listeners may have heard of. He was the granddaddy of this form of astrology, and he was inspired by the new theories that were just coming out at the beginning of the 20th century about the human mind.
Right.
Especially by Carl Jung.
That's right.
So there are psychologists who are practicing today whose field is called transpersonal psychology who have a similar outlook, and that they include the spiritual dimension of the human life the way that more conventional psychology doesn't.
That's interesting. That leads me to my next question to you. How does today's psychology-oriented astrology differ from medieval traditional astrology?
Traditional astrology is more fatalistic than the more contemporary kind, and it runs off the assumption from medieval times that the planets are up there in the sky doing things to us. That there are these external forces which have effects on us, almost as if they were supernatural beings up there throwing down thunderbolts.
That's right, yes.
Whereas the psychologically inclined astrologer is going to see these forces as internal as well as universal. And that the planets are forces that are happening inside of us, which are rooted out there in the world. And that all these intricate cycles that go on up there in the solar system are this amazing giant mirror. So that we don't see the planet's movements as causing events on Earth. We see them, you know, we see the events up there and down here is being made of the same stuff.
Mm.
It's two levels of the same universe. And this is a tricky concept for people because we're also steeped in cause and effect thinking.
That's right.
But really the principle here is as above, so below. This is this very ancient law, and the more current term is synchronicity.
Right, that's interesting. So we can't really just blame it on the stars, as it were.
We can't blame it on the sky. They're just the clock.
Yes.
We just look at the clock to tell us what time it is, you know, and we wouldn't say that the clock causes it to be noon.
That's true, that's interesting. Can we say that astrology is also about forecasting the future? And if we do, our listeners would probably be interested in knowing if there's a psychic pickup on an astrology reading. What do you have to say?
Mm-hmm. I think there is with most astrologers. There's definitely psychic pickup in my work, and it's getting stronger the more I practice.
Mm-hmm.
I often find myself giving a client examples in the course of a reading that come to me in a mental image. And what I think I'm doing is just giving them a metaphor. And then it turns out that that exact thing happened to them that I was describing. So I think this comes from the interplay between what the chart is telling me and what I'm telling the client that clearly involves some kind of psychic mystery. The idea of forecasting is changing, along with the emphasis on fatalism that we were talking about. Medieval astrology was very
right.
Fatalistic. And even today, in societies where there is a more prescribed sense of living out a certain path, like in India, although obviously this is radically changing there too, the astrology they use would match that fatalism more or less. In the Middle Ages, people did not have the sense of individualism and free choice that we have now.
Right.
They didn't think of self-expression in the same way. They didn't depart from their preordained lot in life the way we do now. And so the concept of an individual making her own destiny was not there in the same way. And the astrologies they used followed suit. If you were born with one of those dreadful fixed stars on the midheaven, you know, like Argol,
mm-hmm.
you were said to be at risk of being beheaded, and you very well could have been.
Right.
So humanistic astrology would say that there's less likelihood of predicting what a person will do if that person is highly individualized.
So really what I understand from what you're saying is that the planets, rather than dictate our destiny, they can help lead us into influencing the outcome of things to happen.
Yes, they certainly lead us into understanding ourselves, and we would say that that is what...
That's the key.
...is the outcome of what happens.
Jessica, you've been an astrologer, and you've been teaching astrology for more than 30 years. What are the most common things that come up in a reading, and how do you try and address them?
Well, you know, far and away, the most frequent questions, excuse me, are people wanting to know if they'll find a relationship or whether the relationship they're in will work.
Yes, affairs of the heart. Top on the list.
Trump all other questions. And there are a couple of ways to address this that depend on who I'm talking to.
Uh-huh.
It can be very educational to look at one person's chart and put it up against another person's chart.
Right.
See certain themes. And you can compare and contrast person A's needs with person B's needs and their communicative style by looking at how the respective planets compare.
Right.
You can infer a lot of things this way about their beliefs and the energy with which they tend to express them. you can see a lot about their underlying personality. And this helps people to get a distance.
Mm.
And, of course, anything that helps people get a distance is very helpful.
Yes.
And, you know, they end up not taking things so personally. They can sort of see in black and white that the person's inner blueprint is different, and it's not so much of a shock when they see that, therefore, their wants and desires are different.
That's right, because they have a better perspective.
They get perspective very quickly this way. But, you know, the bigger picture answer to the question of what a given relationship means is more complicated because it doesn't fit in with our normal ways of talking about socializing and our ideas about love and all that.
Yes.
And I'm speaking here of metaphysical law,
which
is that like attracts like. And that when we're ready to experience something, we will.
We'll attract more of the right person if we have evolved, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, if we have gotten to the certain point in our learning, yes.
Yes.
And just like when we're ready for a certain spiritual teaching, we will get it. And sometimes personal relationships have more to do with karmic lessons than they do with love.
Right. That's interesting. Absolutely.
Not that that can't be a form of love, of course.
Yes. Yes.
But the thing is, a person may not get a lesson in the form she thinks she wants.
That's the hard bit, I think, is to put this across to a client and make them realize that they're going through a transformative experience, and it's not really about whether this is the right partner or not.
It may have nothing to do, you know, even if you have a Venus transit, for example, you could get love in a non-romantic form. Maybe a deep encounter with a little child who transforms your life, or with a neighbor next door who you see every day but never opened your heart to.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it can find its expression elsewhere rather than where we expect.
Exactly. Because all we know for sure from the astrology chart is that it's going to be about love.
Hmm.
That's what we do know. We don't know what form it's going to come.
That's interesting. Jessica, finally, one thing that life has taught you?
One thing that life has taught me is stay in the moment.
That's lovely. That is lovely. Not worry about the future.
I see the future as a reflected reality, not a true reality.
In the now, yes. Yes. Well, it's been very lovely talking to you. Would you come back and talk to us again?
It would be a pleasure. Thank you, Sahar.
Thank you very much, Jessica. I look forward to speaking to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.